You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Ava Werner. Ava, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Ava, we're going to talk about your show at the Shirley Project Space, Shadow Time. And, you know, I want to talk about specifically your work, but also this idea of Shadow Time is specific, right? I mean, this is a two-person show, of course. How do you relate to that, or how do you see the notion of Shadow Time? And, of course, we'll talk more about your series as well, but just in terms of that title, Shadow Time.
Yes. So the title is from another artist website, Alicia S. Scott, who and a team of other people who they create neologisms that are, you know, new words that relate to the experience we are having in our contemporary world. So one of those words was Shadow Time. And I particularly resonated with that word. And what it means is a feeling of living in two distinctly different temporal scales simultaneously. So it's this idea that we are, you know, living our lives, going through our daily routines, but we have this sense that something else is happening, something is off, you know, and that is that idea of climate change, right? You know, you see, and I can give an example of in New York before I moved away, but I remember walking to the subway and seeing a daffodil come up in, I want to say, early January, you know, and realizing, I don't remember that when I was a child. You know, I remember daffodils sort of signaling spring. And so this is that idea, this idea that we are sort of existing within shadow time now.
Which, of course, feeds into your series, the Anthropocene series. I mean, there's more of that in here, but the Anthropocene is touches on exactly what you're talking about, right?
As
a time of climate change and generally our impact on the planet. So the series that we're about to discuss, this is the Anthropocene series, right? We're talking specifically about humans impacting the planet. Has that always been part of your work, or is it focused specifically in this part, or has that always been part of your work?
So, it's been part of my work since, I want to say, 2015. I did a residency in New Zealand, and I spent time with the Maori there, and the residency was in a place called Perehaka, which is in New Plymouth, New Zealand. And it's a famous location for this peaceful rebellion that the Maori did in 1885 against the British. And they, that village, they sent out their children and their wives to stop something like 1,500 soldiers from razzing the village and destroying the village. And so they didn't destroy the village. They did arrest the two leaders of the Maori. But we went to this residency, and one of the questions the Maori ask when they meet you is, what water do you come from? And I thought that this was such a, you know, seminal question for me and in so many different ways. I spent my life on the water. I went sailing with my father, and it really made me think about the importance of water and that connection that it brings to us. And I did a project there called the Water Links Project, which is also on view in the gallery, where I made cards that we hung, and you could take a card if you left a water story. And at the time, I did it with my partner, Jim Werner, and he did the video component, so people would leave it like a video diary. And that's really where I got started on this idea of focusing on these really broad topics through one sort of veil or view, and that was through water. So in the Anthropocene series, it is all related to water and how climate change is affecting our water and our water systems and our weather and things like that.
So let's talk about the images themselves. Yeah, and that's such a fascinating question. What water are you from? And of course, you know, poetic as well.
Yeah.
So let's jump into the work itself. There's did you say there's more than one series in here? There's like Water Links, House Flips, and the Anthropocene series.
Yeah.
So let's go through them. The water links. You know, these are different kinds of works, but tell me about those. Is they're distinct from the others? I mean, they're related, of course, as well.
Yes. Yeah. So these pieces we've installed this show in a variety of places, like Australia. Actually, Vanuatu, New Zealand, New York, Maine. And so in each installation, I'll make cards related to the specific place and, you know, cards that are related to the uses of water in that specific place. So in Maine, it was like a lot about logging and how they used, you know, the rivers to move the logs. Obviously in New York, it's a lot about commerce. So each time I make the cards, it is related specifically to a place, although, you know, tangentially in some respects as well. I find different images, you know, in New York, I used images of the Brooklyn Bridge. And then we install the cards and they, over the installations, sometimes things will change where we may not do a video diary. The installation at the Shirley Project space, people are writing their water stories on the backs of the cards. Each card has a question on it. One of the questions might be, what water do you come from? One of the questions might be, tell your water story. And so people, patrons to the gallery, will write their water story on the card, and then they hang it back into the exhibition so that people can read that card, and then they can take a card for themselves. So that's sort of how it functions. But again, it's all
so
really...
that's introducing them to some of the concepts that we're talking about, right? That gets the viewer interactive with ideas like what water are you from? What kind of answers do you get there? I didn't read the cards there, and questions or answers do you get there? Because that must be fascinating.
It is fascinating, and you know, again, because we've done it in different places, it's very interesting to see the different focuses. And my husband and I are working on a book about this project to include these water stories, because we, you know, when we installed it in New Zealand, we got stories from the Maori, and that was an amazing experience. And then so some of the stories, you know, in New York, people will talk about surfing, you know, and how the rhythms of the sky and the sea and things are starting to change, you know. When I was in New York, I got a story about this guy had, when they were kids, they lived in Brooklyn near the water, and they used to go in the summers and watch the water burn. So the water would be, that was his water story, the water would be covered in a layer of oil, I guess, or something, and it would burn. And they would go and watch it. So, again, stories from, I mean, so many stories, I couldn't even possibly cover them all. You know, and it's interesting, too, how the patrons connect to the work. Like at the Shirley Project space, we had someone come in, and his mother was terrified of water, so he never went to the water until he was much older. And he chose a card of a little boy jumping into the sea. And he wanted to have that as like a reminder that he needs to take chances and expand his, you know, experiences and things like that. So it's a very interesting project. It's interesting to see how we connect. We all connect through this element, and that's also been beautiful to see.
Well, we connect, and also the way you're leaving those kind of questions that are open-ended or really quite abstract seem to lend themselves to answers that are very unexpected. You're making connections in very atypical ways. You know, it's not quite like what's your dream or something, but it's something even, you know, a little more that seems to have a certain kind of depth to it that brings out a quality of responses, right? Which all sound like,
yeah,
right. You could do a book on it, on each one. There seems to be so much interesting information there, which says a lot about who we are, right?
And it's, I'm also very touched by how engaged the community will be with the project. You know, the stories that they write are very poignant, you know, and very personal. But it is anonymous, so, you know, they don't have to sign the card or anything. So it is just like a little snapshot and a moment in time. So that's also been really an unexpected aspect of the project.
Yeah, I like that. So let's talk about the house flips, too, because this is also, visually just sort of fascinating. These are... I mean, as the title implies, houses that are flipped photographically in one way or another to create structures that don't seem to have a sense of gravity or something else. Yeah.
These are my most recent series, and I was making these and including them in my collages, when I worked with Sarah Shirley May, the gallery owner, we talked about, you know, making these as their own work. And, you know, I really started to think about them in another way, you know, like, oh, I could, you know, scale these up and I could, you know, sort of manipulate these in these certain ways. But I was collecting these images of houses that were being destroyed by climate change. So floods, hurricanes, sea level rise, specifically. And I, you know, I was thinking about, you know, this sort of visual culture of disaster, right, that we all experience and see, and sort of taking these images out of context and making the viewer sort of focus on them in another way, kind of showing that, you know, this isn't right, you know. And I wanted them to have this strange sort of surreal quality to them, to, you know, draw attention to that, but also specifically connecting them to, you know, the result of climate change, right? And it, the houses are, you know, they're going to be destroyed. They're sort of in the process of being destroyed, but they aren't fully destroyed, if that makes sense.
So all of these are in that process. Yeah, because some of them do look destroyed or falling apart. Others look like they might not be. They're just preparing, like they're on stilts or something, which becomes a really interesting visual kind of motif when the stilts are matched up. But these are all houses that are, which I didn't pick up on right away, these are houses that are about to disappear in some way.
Yes, these are all from locations where they have been undermined by sea level rise. At some point there was a beach under that house, and it is no longer there. It's been, removed by the sea. The sea comes under these houses, and eventually, either the people will have to tear them down or the sea will tear them down. I'm not sure what the status is of these, particular ones on stilts, but, they are sort of in limbo, and I think about that in terms of our experience as well. We're experiencing like a slow apocalypse, right? It's like climate change is happening. It is affecting people in profound ways, right? Your home is being destroyed, where your memories and all these things are contained, but also it's happening on a slower scale, right? A slower timeline. And these feel a little representative of that.
Yeah, they do. They do. They're sort of like, nightmares in a way, right? There's something twisted about them and also quite scary. There's one more series, right, which is the Anthropocene series, if I'm correct, which seems to almost combine some of these things, the house flips and also the color that's in the card and have a different format. But there's something else happening here. These have the houses that are about to disappear and other aspects of atmospheric change, it seems. But there's very different types of compositions here. These are collages that are just beautiful formally, in many ways, the palette and everything else. But there is something different happening here, right, in terms of narrative. It's a similar narrative, but you're doing something else with it, right?
Yes, yeah. I'm sort of layering these images to sort of help the viewer connect these things. Like, it's not just, sea level rise. Summer I did a residency at the Vermont Studio Center, and I focused on sort of what's happening in sort of the West, and I was reading a lot about the Colorado River and the Colorado River sort of drying up, and that the water level at the Hoover Dam was the lowest it's ever been, and at some point they think it's not even going to be viable anymore. And so I was kind of including those images in some of the work that I did this summer. And what's so interesting to me about this is that we have the power to change this. They have the power to, restore the Colorado River, but there's so many different factors involved in it. Anyway, so each one of these, again, kind of gives you a slice of that story without really giving you the whole story. And on the backs of these paintings, I will write where every image has come from. So, for example, in one of the pieces, it will say fires in California, green maple leaves, houses destroyed by floods. I will choose like rivers, images of rivers, like on the first image you see on my website, Sordida Aqua, or Hoover, that work has an image of a river that's one of the most polluted rivers in America, which is the Ohio River. And then it'll have images of the Hoover Dam. And then above it is smog over London. And then there's different, like the images of the Thwaites Glacier, which is one of the glaciers that's melting the fastest. So I do try and have each image have a specific relationship to water and to climate change in each of these images.
Well, thank you for sharing this in this beautiful show. Those images to me are also just beautiful, right? Which is the ironic thing there. This is kind of dark material we're talking about, but the images that you're just discussing or we're just discussing are also just, you know, pull you in because, I mean, the flipped houses do too, but these are so colorful and the palette is so warm and welcoming. It's a bit of a shock, the content in itself, right? I assume that's intentional. The viewers are brought in, almost seduced, and then a rude awakening.
I wanted to create this order as if we could, you know, sort of order this chaos that we're sort of experiencing, but using that sort of enforced order and calmness, right, to draw the viewer in. You're absolutely right. I want to draw them into this subject and this idea, and kind of seduce them, and then just get them to think about it, you know, think about their choices, think about the things that they do. Hopefully these, you know, will do that.
Right. I think they do. Well, I want to ask you one more question, a little off topic before we go. Mm-hmm. Always curious what everyone's reading. What are you reading at the moment?
It's interesting. I'm reading A World on the Wing Scott Wiedesall. Is his name, and it's about migration. It's about bird migration, and it's a fascinating book, actually, just about the astounding feats of birds and how they navigate, and, you know, a lot of it is also about climate change and, you know, connecting to water as well, like the Yellow Sea in China. You know, we're losing so much habitat for birds, and he talks about that and specific projects to sort of reclaim marshlands and things like that to help support birds. But I guess my reading, it's not like I'm reading, I don't know, sweet romantic fictional novels. I spend my time reading about, again, more climate change disasters related to birds this time. But it's also a beautiful story about resilience and just, you know, the miracle that is the world we live in, you know? I mean, and it can be encapsulated in this just small little creature that flies through the air, you know, and the fact that its brain can somehow, you know, arrive at a location, you know, 6,000 miles away, you know, that to me is just magnificent and astounding and, you know, I don't know, makes me believe in the resilience of life in the world, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Thanks for sharing that. Ava, I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure, and I wish you well with the show. And for listeners, of course, there's more links here to learn more about your work and our discussion. Thank you so much, Ava.
Thank you so much. Thank you for finding us and bringing me into your conversation. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.